So I talked Sunday evening about tradition. And again, there were a few things, reason why I kind of went with this. And we're getting into the holiday season. Let me go back and excuse me one second here. We're getting into the holiday season, so we know, I think it's a time where a lot of tradition, and we understand what the word tradition is. I use Colossians 2 and verse 8 Sunday night where it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So, and I started off where we talk about, you know, what do you think of when you think of tradition? And again, I'll go back to, it's holiday season, where people this time of year, what's a tradition they're doing right now? Carving pumpkins, anything else cold stuff that comes along. We have Thanksgiving coming along, a holiday in this country where turkeys, you know, a big thing. That's part of the tradition and what we use. And again, there's so many other things as well. But when we think of tradition, you know, and I mentioned, or I said it too, but not all traditions are wrong. But again, are we sure that what we're doing as far as our service unto God or worship is from Him and not from man? I did use Catholicism, and I'm going to have some more examples towards the end here this evening too, but please raise your hand anytime if you have a comment or know any more on that. And where are we in our own lives as Christians with our traditions? Or what we're doing here, and we'll kind of end that this evening too, with what we're doing here in our worship of God, in our service to Him, in our studies, our own personal studies and everything else, is God reaching us in our hearts through His Word as it should? And I said, again, tradition comes from two sources, either from men or from God. And Colossians 2 and verse 8, again, tells us not to be captive. Don't be thrown away. Don't follow some empty deceit, some human tradition that's just going to sound good, maybe make you feel good. And this is, you know, what we're going to do. I forget how many religions exist in the world today, and anytime you ever look up that number, it changes. So many denominations. I can name it whatever I want to name it, and I can do some type of tradition, whatever we want to do, and it's going to be great, right? But I'm going to make sure it sounds good to everybody, because why? Why do I want that tradition to sound good? Why do I want that type of worship to sound good or feel good to everybody? Because it brings people in. Now, for some reason, I spoke on truth a couple weeks ago. Truth doesn't cut it for most people in the world today. It doesn't matter what God's word is. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what's contained in the Bible. If it doesn't sound good, if it's just a little inconvenient, then I got to find somewhere that has a good way, a good tradition. Why are these huge... what's the church there on 77 and Schuful? I can't remember the name of it. You know, Faith Family Church. Yeah, the big one right there. And where we get on all the time. I should know because I pass by it a couple times a week. How is it that they actually had to put in lights there at those the highway coming off now? They're not functional, but they're installed. And they had to have deputies directing traffic and everything else. Why is that? Why are they so big? Why do they have so many people? Why is that? Is it because God's word? Is it because they're following what's prescribed in there? Don't stand for anything. Right. And I don't know, I haven't looked into them specifically myself on what traditions, what creeds, but I'm going to at least guess they are a denomination that they probably have a lot of their own tradition, own rules established and set up there. And it's not according to God. I don't know this for a fact. I think someone told me they even have a coffee shop in there as well. And I'm sure we would get more people if we did that. But is that what God wants? Is that a tradition from God or is that from man? And again, Colossians 2 and verse 8, those are the things of the world. That's what man's tradition is trying to take you away from. I use some examples, too, of when we think about worship in itself, of when it's wrong. And most people don't like to hear you say that what you're doing is wrong. This is the wrong way of doing it. This is not how you're supposed to do it. What happens when you tell someone that they're doing something wrong? What happens when they tell you that you're doing something wrong? at work. You probably get this often. Go ahead. No, sorry. You get an attitude, right? Yeah, you get defensive. Yeah, defensive is what, yeah, the main thing is we get defensive. If we are told that we're not doing something right, you're doing something wrong. I don't know about it. We have evaluations every year. So you get an evaluation, you sit down with your whoever's your immediate supervisor, and you get an evaluation. And on it, it tells you where you're lacking, where you're exceeding, whatever it may be. I don't think there's a lot of them that put you're really exceeding too much in all of them. But again, same thing. What happens, and you hear it all the time from everybody, you know, they say, I'm not doing this right or I'm doing that. And everyone gets defensive over it. So we don't like to hear that, and I think that's the problem in the world today is we don't want to hear we're doing something wrong if that's the case. And I use this, and I actually got this from someone else too, but, and again, the Bible begins and ends with worship, from the Abel's sacrifice to the angels around the throne, and that's pretty much the theme of the Bible, and nowhere does God accept any unregulated, any self-designed worship anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere does God accept that you can just worship Him however you want to do it. You know, go ahead and do it your way and not worry about my way. And again, I often use analogies, and I say this all the time too, that's not okay at your job. Right? I talk about evaluations at work. You can't go into your, whatever you do, wherever you work, I'm going to assume unless you own the business, unless you're doing your own work, working for yourself, you can't go in and just decide, I know I'm supposed to come in at 8 o'clock. I'm going to get here at 8:15, 8:30. What happens if you continue to do that? Right? And you've heard me say this all the time. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. You're going to get in trouble. So do we think God is okay with that and God's going to accept it? I think many people just assume that I'm a good person, and it's okay, no matter what happens, it's going to be fine. One of the examples was Nadab and Abihu in Exodus 10 and verse 3. And we understand that the fact is they offered strange fire. Now, the one thing I brought up too was, do you think that, was their thought process that, well, I'm going to go ahead and because he'll be okay with it? Well, let me back up. I think I just mixed myself up. I think their thought was, it's going to be okay because I think it's okay. I'll go ahead and do it because this is fine. And we often use, you know, the Lord's Supper. Why do we have the fruit of the vine in there? Why do we have the unleavened bread? I should start off with that. Because that's what's prescribed in Scripture. Does anywhere it say Coca-Cola, peanut butter? No. But the same thing. By those who come near to me, I must regard as holy, Exodus 10, verse 3. And before all people, I must be glorified, is the point I was trying to make earlier, is what God has said. And again, Nadab and Abihu, after all the preparation they did, after everything they were ready, they just threw that all away. Do you think that they thought they were doing wrong at the time? No. They thought they were doing something wonderful. They thought they were doing what is right. And we all want to be right. We all want to do the best we can. But again, it always falls back to, what has God given me to do? What has He told me to do? And there's four kinds of unacceptable worship. I didn't mention the other night that I want to talk about tonight as well. Any comments on tradition so far before I move on to this from anybody? Paul. Right. Well, and I hear all the time, well, it's funny, because I might have you come up here and help me with some of this. I got a long list on Roman Catholicism and some of their traditions and practices.
Too,
so you might have to come up here and talk about some of the things. Well, and it's true, and you can. It seems like any religion, Paul was saying, if you didn't hear him, can basically just change whatever it is to make it. And it doesn't make it right. No, it makes it just sound good. Makes you feel good. Makes you think everything you're doing is fine. And I know you hear all the time that the Pope now allows this or allows that, whatever it may be. And again, is that from God? No. We talked about the golden calf from Exodus 32 Sunday as well. And that's the exact same thing. The Pope, right? He's the golden calf. There's a false God. Who is the Pope? Where is the Pope even in Scripture? And you cannot find it. But when we think about our worship to God, it's the same thing as worship even you know, false gods. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 21, let me back up to verse 18, actually. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And we think about the golden calf. I'll even throw in the Pope in there. Whatever it may be, when we talk about false gods, we talk about worshiping something that God, or other than God, someone other than God. And again, when Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, when we refuse to worship God, there's an indictment right there in Romans 1, 18 through 21. That we turn our worship to whatever looks good, sounds good, that we can reach out, that we can touch, we can see. And the problem is that maybe it's not only that we can see it, but we want to see something. We want to believe it's there. We want to think it's there. It's kind of like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, right? People want to believe it's there, but it's not there. And I was talking to someone not too long ago about that. I'm like, don't you think that if there really was Bigfoot, with everything we have, all the technology, that we would have found him if that were such a thing? Loch Ness Monster. And it's the abominable snowman, not the abdominal snowman. It was that same person. That's why you mentioned that. So sometimes we just want to see something. We want it to be there. And we create even our own idol. How do we create our own idols today? Do we carve them out of stone or anything else? How do we create idols today? Money? Who said money? Good point. Yeah, money. Right? And how is money an idol to us? Anyone? Right. We make money more important than God. And that's a good point with both of you, is the fact that whatever it is, whether it's money, whether it's, I think sports can become an idol. I don't know what the numbers are, but how many people maybe attend an NFL game on Sundays versus worship service? I'm just going to guess that it's probably more attendance at the football games. What else? Hobbies, someone said. Money, sports, hobbies. Yeah. Good point, because, yeah, you just had it all there, relying on anything other than God for your purpose. And it's funny, too, Matt, because when you said that, the one thing that popped in my mind when people try to say, well, I want to find the meaning of life. I want to find out what that is. It's like, and again, that's another thing we're just searching for, we're reaching for, and we'll use anything that we can to kind of bring that in there. So, yeah, we can think of anything. There are so many other things we can think of when we talk about false gods. But remember, false gods are not just, you know, carving a figurine out of, you know, whatever shape, whatever it may look like, and just worshiping that. It can be anything, money, jobs, sports, anything in life that takes the place of God. And what about, too, that sometimes maybe we worship God, maybe the right God, but it's the real God, but just in the wrong form or the wrong way. And we have to be careful of that, too, that we're not just reducing God kind of like an idol, just reducing him down to just an image, a thing. One of the things that always bothers me is, are we ever too tired of worshiping him? And I don't mean just tired. I am extremely tired of myself tonight. And I'm sure you're probably tired as well. The day wears on us. And I don't even mean that tired, but are we too much in repetition? Are we thinking, well, I just get up at this time. I get up at a specific time. I'm going to get up at 10 o'clock, which, remember, this Saturday night, clocks fall backwards, right? So we wouldn't be late anyways. We'd probably be early. But, yeah, time changes. But it's just, are we doing the same routine that we've become so accustomed to it? Right, we all sit in our same seats. What happens if Sunday we all sit in a completely different seat? Right? We all take the exact same way probably here every Sunday, every Wednesday. Right? We probably drive the exact same way. We're used to certain routines. Now, even though, and I'm not saying routines are bad, are we too much, are we too far into our routines? Let me ask you this. What happens when you get into a routine? What happens as far as the things you do? What's that? Loses meaning. It becomes just kind of like muscle memory, right? You do it all the time. You're doing this exact same thing. When I wake up in the morning, I do the exact same thing when I'm getting ready. Everyone else probably does the exact same thing. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But are we falling too much, or we're reducing God into just a routine in our life? Do we just look at him as just something that's we're supposed to do? This is why we're here. This is why we're coming here on Wednesday evening, on Sunday. Just because that's what we do. Now, we also have to be careful that our worship of God is not just style to ourselves. And again, right, Nadab and Abihu. We can even look at Saul, Jeroboam, and so many other examples where, and going back to Nadab and Abihu and the strange fire, they wanted their own way over God. And they thought their own way was the better way. And that's why I always say that I think most people don't believe that what they're doing is wrong. They think that what they're doing is the right way. Paul, I'll pick on you again because it's going to be easy here. And I have a list, if I can get to it, some of these traditions in Catholicism. But you think most Catholics are sitting there saying, I'm doing the wrong thing. But
if you're raised Catholic,
yeah.
There's a lot of Catholics, not just Catholics, but all denominations.
Sure.
There's a lot of devout people out there.
Right.
And to go ahead and tell someone, are you doing it wrong after 25 or 30 years? It's hard.
Right.
For someone to admit that they're not doing the right thing.
Right. So yeah. And absolutely, any denomination, whatever it is, I don't think anybody, I was going to say most people, but I don't think anybody's really sitting there saying, you know, and maybe that thought comes across, though, as you're reading the Bible and you're looking at the Scripture and thinking, what I'm doing is it right? Is it wrong? And here's another good question. When I'm up here speaking, when Don's up here, anyone else is up here speaking, are we studying the Scriptures, just as the Bereans did? Are we making sure what's being said is so? Or are we just going along with whatever whatever I say tonight, let's just go along with it? Are we making sure everything in there, and we're not substituting our own traditions for what God has put in? And I like Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. It says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And this is exactly what I was just talking about. It's like, are we worshiping God in vain? Are we saying that we're Christians? Are we saying we're following you, God? We're doing whatever you want us to do? It says our lips are saying that, but again, our hearts are far from it. We can say anything. There's anything we can say. I remember, they would probably say it now, but you know, the boys were funny when they were a little bit younger, and I remember driving by it was a Halloween store, costume store, and you could hear they were talking in the back seat. I remember, I want to laugh really hard right now. But they were talking in the back seat, and they were saying how, oh, yeah, I would go in there. I'm not scared. So then I start turning up that way. And then they're like, no, we got to go. Don't worry about it, Dad. Then they're trying to make excuses. Right? They're saying one thing, and realistically, that's not what they wanted, because everything changed as soon as I turned and drove up that way. I still think of it. It's still funny. But, right, our mouths... I can't even talk tonight. Our mouths say one thing, but our actions are something completely different. And we have to be careful with that with God, because again, Nadab and Abihu, right? You and me today. Are we offering strange fire? Are we doing something different than what God... Are we in Matthew chapter 15, are we drawing near to Him with our mouth, but our heart is far from Him? You know, again, I had some examples. We don't have any examples of an instrument in our worshipers, which is why we don't do it. A rosary. We don't celebrate religious holidays. And we have to be careful on everything we do in there. So again, we might worship God, but we just do it in our own way. Maybe we worship the right God, but we do it just in our way and not in His. And then the fourth point I have in how our worship can be wrong is we worship God, we worship the true God, the right God, in the right way, in the right manner, but with the wrong attitude. Right? So again, we worship God, the true and living God, we do it in the right way, but our attitude gets in the way of everything here. We think about when Israel returned from Babylon. You know, and the Israelites, I was talking about this not too long ago in a class too, but it was kind of like a roller coaster, right? And they were kind of up and down. And at this time, returned from Babylon, they got rid of their false gods, their own religion, that of their neighbors as well. But their heart just wasn't into it. Amos chapter 5, and beginning of verse 21, it talks about there and says, I hate, I despise your feast days. Do not save your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. And later, Isaiah even spoke to this in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning of verse 11, say, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. And again, I guess this kind of goes back to more in our routines. That if our attitude is just, well, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I come in. This is where what I do on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And that's the only reason I'm doing it. I really don't like saying it, but you're probably wasting your time if your heart's not in it. And again, our lips are in it, but our hearts are not in it.
Yeah,
Taylor.
There's a couple things here I'd like to mention. You're talking about Israel. You were talking about Israel, how they had through the judges, period of
right.
The judges and all that. But Paul dealt with it in Romans chapter 10. In chapter 9, the closing part of chapter 9, he was talking chapter 10, verse 1, beginning. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." Now, the King James says Israel. This was
right.
The New American Standard does it. But he goes, in verse 2, he says, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according with knowledge." And then he goes on, we look at verse 3
right.
as well. But they were worshiping in the way they wanted to, not according to the law.
Right.
And so, but we can bring that, the second point I want to make is, we can bring this right back home, right here in the, within the church. I'm going to mention some stuff, and we all have heard it over the years, back in the early, well, around 2005, 2006, and 2007. The issues was about the lectureship came up. We all remember Bob Dickey dealt with that a lot.
Right.
The eldership here, and it was taught on. But one occasion was when Mike Willis was. He's the one with the lectureship. He began the whole thing, and a number of the preaching brethren and what brethren all over the country agreed with it and was a part of it. But I remember specifically. Aaron Earhart, most of us know Aaron. Mike Willis wrote him a letter. He wanted him to be one of the speakers there. And so he wrote Aaron and asked him to do that. And Aaron wrote back, and he suggested, "I'll do it, but put it under an eldership. You know, let the church take care of it the way it should be taken care of."
Right.
And Mike Willis's answer was, "No, we want to do it." And that right there, that so we don't have to go to denominations to see that. And we, as we know, it's been a controversy, still is. Churches split and preachers took sides and all that. So the point of all this is, just like Israel, they were worshiping, but not according
right.
to the law.
Right.
The they were doing it the way they wanted to do it. And brethren are doing the same thing today. It may not be the lectureship. It may be something else. And if there's a lot of issues going on, it seems like it never stops.
Right.
But why can't we take the warning that Israel had, what Paul had to say regarding that matter? You know, so we might want to do some things, but let's make, and if it's scripture, let's do it. But if you, you know, we've always said put your finger on, put chapter and verse, or don't do it.
Right.
That applies, and whether we apply it or not, that's God's law.
Well, and similar too with, and I think it was here in a meeting, Chris Peltz, if I'm not, sure. Ms. Chris Peltz, I think he was he did a meeting here one time, and he did a lesson. I can't remember what it was entitled, The Two Arcs. Were there two arcs or two arcs or something? But basically, in a similar manner, he talked about these things, and he said, didn't God specified how the ark was to be built? What happens if we just do something different? We put something else in there. What would happen? And he went on with the other, again, things that are even plaguing the church with that as well. But absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up, too, I think I had this in here somewhere, too, in Romans chapter 10, where Paul talks about, too, you had a zeal, but just not according to what God has to say, not according to his knowledge in there. And why is that okay? And I apologize because I flipped all my notes when I added all these things here, too. But why is it okay that we just go ahead and add something or take something away or do something completely different? And what is our attitude in God? Are we wanting to do what God has prescribed, his tradition, or do we want to do our own? Are we just concerned with, well, it's me, it's all about me, and whatever I say? Paul also talked about, and this one thing I mentioned Sunday night, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, where he even talks about his own life and what when he was trying, I'll go ahead and read that. Galatians 1, 13 and 14. "You have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond my own age, or the own age, my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. And I had a note in there that tradition often seems like it's the right thing to do. It seems like it's the right way. It seems like the right thing. And Paul, as you mentioned too, it's maybe we've grown up in something. This is how it's always been, and we just keep doing it. And are we so zealous just to keep doing that same tradition, that same thing, that we fail to see, and we kind of don't even want to see, I guess probably at that point, what God actually has in His Word? Anyone else? Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and again, we meet on the first day of the week. So Acts 20 and verse 7. We'll start with there. Let's go to Acts 20 and verse 7. So again, one of the things that we do, and like you said, in Catholicism, I'm not sure if anyone else does that as well. And I bring up Catholicism because there's a lot of traditions in that. I have even family members in the Catholic Church as well. So yeah, you're talking about, and she was asking about, what's the difference? Why do we meet on Sundays versus you have Catholicism, which has, and I believe that's the only one, a Saturday Mass as well. So in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart on the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." And it's not just, I don't think it was incidental as far as the day of the week, when he says the first day of the week, but it's significant to Christians. Again, the first day of the Lord's Church was on Pentecost on the first day of the week. Christ arose on the first day of the week, John 20 and verse 1. And again, they were commanded to come together even in 1 Corinthians 11 upon the first day of the week. So why we meet do it on the first day of the week is because that's in Scripture. Now, Catholicism, I'm not sure, and I don't know if anyone else can answer that. Why the Saturday? Do you know? Okay. Okay. Why we meet Sunday evening? Just because it's still the first day of the week. So if we wanted to, the elders decided, now we don't have to, but if the elders decide we're going to meet again on a Sunday evening, that we can, that we do. So again, it's still the first day of the week, and the church here, the congregation here has decided to meet on that evening as well. Now, I preach in another congregation where they don't meet on Sunday evenings. And a lot of that has to do with, I just don't think they're elderly as well and not able to get out. But not all congregations do, which is why, and well, again, you know, if we wanted to meet Sunday afternoon upon that first day, again, we can. But it's still the first day of the week. Go ahead, Steve. Good point.
Have the opportunity to be here in the morning, whether they worked or whatnot.
Right.
That's really the reason. It's also another opportunity for us to worship together and to edify one another. No, you won't find in the Bible meeting twice on Sunday, but you find that they met daily. In fact, we're not doing as much as the first century church did.
Right.
So anybody that would say, well, it's not required, is kind of looking at it from
right. So
you're not commanded to be here tonight.
Correct.
You don't find Wednesday, but you'll find it daily. You don't find partaking of the Lord's Supper every day.
Correct.
You only find it on the first day.
Correct.
That's the only thing you got authority.
So I don't know if you heard everything Steve said, so let me kind of what I was, or go back on a little bit of what I was saying as well, too. But as he said, we meet here on Sunday evening to give even those a chance who haven't had a chance, maybe there's something else during the day at work, but to partake of the Lord's Supper, which again is only commanded on the first day of the week. There's nowhere else in the scripture that Lord's Supper is on a Tuesday and Wednesday. I was at a relative, speaking of relative, in Catholicism on a, I want to say it was a Tuesday or a Thursday, and they were doing communion at the time. Well, we did not, my family, we did not partake, and we actually got some dirty looks, and it was a family's funeral. But again, and when someone asked me, and I told them in a nice way, but later on, it's like, there's nowhere in Scripture that authorizes me to partake of communion on a Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday. The only thing we have in Scripture is Sunday, the first day of the week. That's the only, and that's why. It's not just for any other reason because we want to do it differently. We want to do different than you, whoever it may be, whatever denomination it is. But this is what we have prescribed. And again, Acts 20 and verse 7 establishes, you know, when the Lord's Supper upon that first day of the week. And that's why we do it here upon the first day. You know, it was another thing in, was that still the first spell? You're almost close to the second? Okay. Did I say this Sunday? I filmed a wedding for a relative too. It was at a church and I didn't know this was even a thing, but I got up on, like up here, the altar, okay, to do some shots, and I was reprimanded in a way. It wasn't a nasty way. I don't even mean to sound like that, but, and again, and that was at the time I was not getting into it. But I was just curious, and I think I did ask a question on where to find that, where is that at as well. But again, and I would go back to that, that's a tradition of man. That's not something in the Bible. That's not something in Scripture that we can find anywhere in the Scripture. And that's the unfortunate part, I think, is sometimes we're just taken away by those things because this is what they are, this is how they are, this is how they sound good. Autumn, go ahead. Right. Yeah, and good point. And again, just to clarify, it's not just Catholicism. It's any denomination we look at. I've dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses many times too, where there's so much tradition in there. Where I had a quote unquote elder, and I don't even think he was 15 years old. And he even admitted that, yeah, I know I don't qualify under the Scripture. And then his thing was, and I did a lesson on this, his thing was, but. And afterwards, and he tried to explain it away with everything else other than what Scripture had to say, too. Oh, yes. Right.
So the authority is there at both times. And another, you know, for years I've had people say, well, there's no authority for Wednesday night service. You know, there is authority for it. And I'll tell you where it's at. In Hebrews chapter 13.
Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 verse 17, Dale asked me to read, and It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning. That would be of no advantage to you.
As elders, elders have the responsibility of taking care of the souls
right.
of the local congregation. And there's the authority. If the elders say do it,
right.
And what does it say at the end of it? They watch for your watch over your souls for those who give an account. And then it says, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this is a problem.
Absolutely.
So there's the authority.
Right.
And I've made that argument. And you don't hear that very often.
Right.
But over the years, I've heard that. Well, why do we have no authority for that tonight? And normally, that's people who don't want to be here on Wednesday night.
Right.
That's where the argument comes from. Right. But there's the authority for it.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Good point. So, absolutely, we're definitely out of time this evening, and I'll try to get through some of this even next time when I do it. Thank you.